Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome back, listeners, to our second day of our Sweet Talk on Sugar. Well, it's October 11th, and we're glad that you're back with us for our second day on our health article, The War on Sugar. We're on page 21 of your advanced magazine. If you have it with you, why don't you open it? And first, let's take a little review and talk about one thing maybe that surprised you or impressed you from yesterday. How about you, Brian?
Okay. Hello there, listeners. One thing that stood out to me yesterday on the 10th was the way that there are efforts being put in to help kids with their diets, like the thing we learned about the schools, how schools are beefing up their offerings of fruits and vegetables, healthy natural foods, so that kids have more healthy choices instead of just candy bars and potato chips.
I guess for me, this is Simon, by the way, listeners. I'm glad to be back with you again today. I guess the big surprise for me with yesterday's reading was I think we all know that having too much sugar is bad for us, but the surprise was that sugar is really hidden in all kinds of different things. And especially the thing that stood out for me was this idea that your drink is a huge part of your diet in terms of all of the sugar that it's putting into your body or your diet, because you don't really always think of your drink as being something that's part of your diet. So that was a big surprise for me.
Right. And we can see that this is kind of a battle because one of our writers for this article said that is sugar just being maligned or spoken about viciously without any thing to back it up? Or is it becoming a scapegoat, even though obesity is at an epidemic level now in the United States? So we have a lot to talk about today, and we're glad you could join us. I'm Linda, and I'm happy to have Brian and Simon with me again for day two. So if you have your magazine, and it's open to page 21, we're going to read the little section called Too Much is Dangerous.
Too much is dangerous. Sugar is toxic in the amount it's consumed by Americans, says Rob Lustig, a professor at the University of California, San Francisco. A little bit is okay, but it's the quantity that people are consuming that's harmful, Lustig says. There is a threshold, and right now we are way above that threshold. The Heart Association recommends that most American women consume no more than 6 teaspoons a day, about 100 calories, from added sugars, Johnson says. For men, it's 9 teaspoons, or about 150 calories. Kids should limit their intake to about the same amount, she says.
So we're looking at too much is dangerous. Now, I think it's very important to look at the first sentence here. It says sugar is toxic, but how? It's the word, the sugar itself is not toxic. It's in the amount that it's being consumed by Americans.
Well, this is an interesting sentence because when I first read it, I guess I wasn't reading very carefully. I should tell our listeners I brought a mango today. And my first thought was, how can this sweet mango be toxic? It's a natural thing, right? The sugar is natural. But that isn't exactly what Professor Rob Lustig is saying. He's saying sugar is toxic in the amount it's consumed by Americans. So most of our listeners will be familiar with that expression, too much of anything is a bad thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the idea here.
That's right. People have the habit of eating an amount of sugar in their diet that is above a certain point. And that's what we're going to learn about in the second paragraph there, the meaning of the word threshold.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, a threshold is a certain point. When you go beyond that point, then you've got too much or you're getting dangerous levels. So this man, Mr. Lustig, says that there is a threshold, and right now we are way above that threshold. So it would seem the habit of most Americans is to consume way above the recommended amount of added sugar.
That's right. And so let's take a look at this word, threshold. Maybe you're allergic to something, and you can be around it. You can be around a certain amount of things that maybe cause your allergies, but then you reach a point, if you go over that, then your allergies start acting out of control.
That's right. I know a person who has a peanut allergy. And for those of our listeners who know about peanut allergies, you know they're very, very dangerous. But this person, over the years, probably over the last 30 years, has sort of tried to expose herself to peanuts. And so she's at the point now where she can actually eat 5 peanuts without feeling any sort of trouble.
Really?
Just gradually increasing her threshold, or I guess you could say how much she can take of that thing. That's not really what you can do with the sugar, though, right? This threshold is like a limit, how
right.
much you can have before it's unhealthy for you.
That's right. And also, I wouldn't recommend people try doing what your friend did, Simon, because you don't know how dangerous whatever you're allergic to is to yourself, like cats, for example. If I'm very allergic to cats. And being around them a little bit, yeah.
Allergies can be serious.
Yes, so. Yeah. But it is interesting, you know, if you're drinking a lot of sugar and you go over it, you go over your threshold, then it starts to have a toxic effect on your body.
That's right. And in the next paragraph, they actually go on to tell us what the threshold is, what the healthy amount of sugar is. I think a lot of our listeners are probably disappointed, especially if they are women, because this seems a little unfair to me.
It's so sad.
Don't you think that's sad? It says American women should consume no more than 6 teaspoons a day. That's about 100 calories. But men get 9 teaspoons.
But that's from added sugar. Okay. Oh, how should we talk about this? That doesn't mean from natural sugar. Like in fruit, for example, right?
So you get to eat fruit in addition? To this tablespoon of sugar, this teaspoon of sugar?
Well, I think it kind of goes back, Linda, to what you were saying about reading the labels earlier. So we need to be aware when we're reading these labels. And they often talk about how many grams of sugar are in a certain drink or food. So that's something – maybe that will help us and we can make that equivalent with the teaspoon measurement here.
Well, I think that, you know, to our body, sugar is sugar. It doesn't matter what form it comes in, right?
That's right. And it's, you know, in a lot of ways, I guess it's important to remember, too, that this is a recommendation. So having 10 teaspoons of sugar isn't going to make you, you know, deathly ill or anything. But I think what this does is it gives us a good way of looking at that information we got yesterday about the 16-ounce drink.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember, but in the last paragraph of yesterday's reading, we learned that a 16-ounce serving of soda contains at least 12 teaspoons of sugar. So really, drinking a large soda, it's too much.
Right.
That's right. That's it. That's more than a day's worth of sugar for you.
And if you drink what it means is that, you know, for women, if you drink an 8-ounce serving, if you go to a party and you drink an 8-ounce serving of Coke or an 8-ounce serving of any kind of soda, that's your sugar for the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but most people don't. If you're at a party, oftentimes you have maybe 1.5 or 2 glasses or other sugary foods at a party as well. So that puts you way over your threshold.
That's right. A powerful treat that soda is.
Yes.
So I guess in terms of a healthy recommendation then, what they're suggesting isn't just cutting back a little bit, like not adding extra sugar to your coffee. They're actually talking about a really big cutback for most people in their diets.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go on now and see what it says underneath our next subheading, or it's too much is dangerous, or is it?
Or is it? Others say not so fast. Added sugars have been unfairly demonized by some researchers, and the reality is much more complicated, says James Ripp, a cardiologist who studies nutrition and fitness. Sugar doesn't deserve to take the rap for the country's weight problem, says Andy Briscoe, president and CEO of the Sugar Association. Sugar has been around for thousands of years. It's all natural. It's 15 calories a teaspoon. It has been used safely by consumers, by our grandmothers, and our grandmothers' grandmothers.
So here we're saying, we've just talked about too much is dangerous, and now we're going to talk about the opposite side of it, or is it? And some people say not so fast, which means don't be so judgmental so quickly. Don't make these decisions so fast, but look a little bit deeper.
That's right. This guy, James Ripe, or Rip, says that sugar has been unfairly demonized by some researchers.
What does that mean? Unfairly demonized.
It means you're trying to make somebody or something seem completely evil in people's eyes. So maybe sugar's not that bad. Maybe it's just being, as he says, demonized.
Yeah. Unfairly, though. So he's saying it really isn't all sugar's fault. And sugar's being treated unfairly by some researchers. And his reason for that is saying that actually the real story is much more complicated. So it's not just as simple as a matter of sugar being the thing you have to get rid of and then everyone will be healthy.
And I think he knows what he's talking about. This is a doctor, a cardiologist, is a doctor who treats heart disease. And he also, besides being a cardiologist, he's studying nutrition and fitness. And I really think that they're all wrapped up together. You know, a healthy heart also is a result of how fit you are and the kind of nutrition habits that you have in your life as well.
Sure. Your total diet and health habits.
Right.
That's right. And it perhaps won't be a surprise to some of our listeners to find out that the CEO of the Sugar Association agrees with him.
Yeah.
The president, Andy Briscoe, says sugar doesn't deserve to take the rap for the country's weight problem. And taking the rap is another very interesting term. It makes me think of police shows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You so if you take the rap.
Right.
Take the blame for something.
That's right.
Be the one who gets caught and gets into trouble.
But usually if you take the rap, it usually means to be blamed or punished unfairly. I mean, you really haven't done it.
That's right.
But maybe you...
Well, maybe you did some of it, but you take all of the blame while the others get away.
Unfairly.
Yeah.
Unfairly, yes.
So poor sugar, again, it's being demonized and it's being forced to take the rap, perhaps unfairly.
Right. Now, you know, actually, this is just a quote from the president and CEO of the Sugar Association. But I think for our listeners, one of the things we need to be aware of when people are doing studies, we often say this study shows this or another study shows something, is who is supporting that study. Because you can get any result that you want, depending upon who is giving the report. But this one, he's not really doing any studies. He's just saying that he believes that it's very unfair, that sugar is not the one that's responsible for America's weight problems.
That's right. And he does actually have some pretty good reasons for this, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
He says sugar's been around for thousands of years. We know that's true. He says it's all natural. I'm not sure all sugar is all natural. But some of it definitely is. Yesterday when we listed those different kinds of sugar, there were some there like maple syrup and honey that were definitely pretty natural. But there were others like high fructose corn syrup that perhaps wasn't as natural. But he adds that there's 15 calories per teaspoon. And this is the important thing. It's been used safely by consumers or people who buy things, by our grandmothers and our grandmothers' grandmothers. And I think that is the point. We're talking right now about this war on sugar because of the overweight epidemic. Remember that term from yesterday? Kind of the disease that's spreading everywhere. Americans are more overweight than ever before. But he's pointing out here that our grandparents and their grandparents were also using sugar, but they didn't have this problem. So maybe there is something to this argument that it's all a lot more complicated than just blaming sugar.
Well, I think it's interesting. I talked about another study I read about yesterday about Americans are exercising more now but not losing weight due to their poor diets. And the same study also showed that people have increased the amount of food that they eat from 1970 until now. The intake of food has increased dramatically in the United States. The amount of food one person eats is totally changed. And probably the kind of food they eat, too, more processed foods. People are eating out more, and, you know, we're really not really watching how much sugar we take in.
That's true. There could be a lot of different factors, Linda, in this. Like you said, the diet, maybe even the stress and other kinds of habits in people's lives. So it is pretty complicated.
But remember, he's just saying it's not going to – it shouldn't be unfairly blamed for all of the weight problems. But the article basically is kind of saying it's, you know, it's part of the problem.
Well, and I think probably both of these sides are right to a certain extent.
I agree with you.
You know, if you were going to try to lose weight and you made a list of things you were going to do, you wouldn't just cut out sugar,
no.
Right? You'd cut out all kinds of different things. And so to blame the whole overweight problem on sugar is probably a little unfair, but that doesn't mean sugar isn't a bad thing a lot of the time.
Actually, for Americans, our study showed that it's chips that actually cause the most weight gain in people, not sugar, because I think the first thing to go is sugar. But
yeah.
People, you know, will eat. But I think when you eat chips, you also drink a sugary beverage.
It goes together.
Right? Usually that's what people do.
And then you end up big.
Well, we're going to take a look at some research. Our next section on the right column on page 21 is researching sugar's effects.
Researching sugar's effects. Research about the effects of excessive intake of sugary foods and drinks is coming out all the time, and there's not much that's reassuring, says Marion Nestle, a nutrition professor at New York University. People with diabetes or pre-diabetes are often advised to watch their sugar intake. When someone with diabetes drinks a large quantity of sugary beverages, they get a huge dose of sugar at one time, says Stephanie Dunbar, Director of Clinical Affairs for the American Diabetes Association. It hits their system quickly, raising blood glucose levels. That's not healthy for anyone, especially someone with diabetes or pre-diabetes, because high blood glucose causes damage to blood vessels, increasing risk of complications such as heart attacks, amputations, and blindness, she says.
So we're looking at research about the effects of excessive intake. So I do want to point out again that we're talking about too much consumption. It's not just eating, you know, or drinking an average amount or a little bit. It's excessive intake or excessive consumption of sugary foods and drinks. And there's a lot of research going on about this right now. And her quote is, "And there's not much that's reassuring." This is according to a nutrition professor at New York University. And she's especially talking about people with diabetes here.
That's right. Diabetes is a medical condition. Here in the specialized terms, we describe it as a disease in which the body cannot control the level of sugar in the blood. And that can have a lot of dangerous effects on somebody's body. She says that people with diabetes or even pre-diabetes, the early stage, are advised to especially watch their sugar intake. So sugary drinks could especially harm these kind of people.
It's also showing, or studies have shown, that diabetes is really on the rise in America. And probably this excessive consumption of sugar has a lot to do with it. It also can run in my family, diabetes runs in my family. My mother had it. A lot of my aunts and uncles have it. So I need to be careful.
I need to watch it.
Yeah, there are different types of diabetes, though, right? There are ones that people inherit and ones you develop mostly from eating too much sugary food. Yeah.
That's right.
And so, again, I guess the idea here is avoiding excess.
Right.
But, again, like going back to the last column, excess isn't – it's not hard to have an excessive amount of sugar. We're really talking
it's
about
easy.
Like a large soda is – too much.
That's right. One large soda.
And they get into that in the next paragraph here when they say when someone with diabetes drinks a large quantity of sugary beverages, they get a huge dose of sugar at one time.
We just think about, you know, I don't think any of us here is diabetic, but think about how you feel after you drink like a large Coke or a 16-ounce Coke.
Really good.
Yeah.
Oh, I can testify to that because I don't do it. If I do it, if I drink one whole bottle, I'm out. I'm either passing out or I have a migraine headache.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought maybe I had diabetes, but the doctors say I don't. I think I've just avoided the sugary drinks for so long that they really hit my system fast.
Right.
Well, the word they use here for that amount of sugar that the diabetic or pre-diabetic person has taken is interesting, too. They say they get a huge dose of sugar at one time. The reason that word's kind of interesting is usually we use dose when we're talking about a medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So you take a dose of medicine, which means just sort of one serving or one helping of the medicine, right?
So this is your dose of sugar.
Yeah, you're getting a dose of sugar.
And we see the effect that it has. It hits their system quickly, so it raises the blood sugar, blood glucose levels or blood sugar levels in that person's body. And that's where the problem comes in.
Yeah, because people with diabetes, their bodies can't deal with sugar in their bloodstreams.
That's right. They can't break it down. Yeah.
And so the result of that is the high blood glucose causes damage to blood vessels. You know, we know that diabetes is, you know, you can go into a coma from it, you can die from it, but we don't see that it causes the damage to blood vessels. And also at risk of complications such as heart attacks and amputations. So what is amputation? And that's kind of interesting for a diabetic.
Well, because diabetic people have problems with their blood vessels,
mm-hmm.
they have problems getting blood to flow through their bodies properly. And often that means some parts of your body aren't getting the blood they need. And so often with people who are diabetic, especially older people who are diabetic, they'll have problems with maybe their feet or their toes,
mm-hmm.
things like that. And they'll end up losing parts of their bodies through amputation, which is basically just means the doctor cuts off part of your body to save the rest of you.
Right. Because the blood doesn't flow through there, so that part of it dies. Right. And also blindness. So it's a dangerous disease, you know, even though we think, oh, yeah, but the results of it or the effects of it are quite dangerous.
How could sugar do all that?
Yeah. Remember, it's excessive consumption.
I thought it was my friend. And
well, it might be your friend a little bit. But let's look at the top of the page. We have a little topic here called, is it an addiction? Are you addicted to sugar, Simon?
I could be. I'm not entirely sure. To be honest, though, it's hard to get it out of your diet, isn't it?
Very.
Because, you know,
it's
even,
so
you know, if you're drinking soup and soup tastes salty but has sugar in it, you know, is it because you're addicted that you're getting all this sugar? Is it because that sugar is everywhere? But this is an interesting idea, this idea of is it an addiction? The suggestion being that, like, people who are consuming a lot of sugar are eating all the sugar because they need it. They're addicted to the sugar.
Why don't you read that and let's see what it says and then we'll talk about it.
Okay. Is it an addiction? Studies on food and addiction show that sugar works on the brain very much like classic substances of abuse. Kelly Brownell, director of Yale University's Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity, says sugar doesn't have as strong of an effect on the brain as heroin or cocaine or even alcohol or nicotine, he says, but the addiction still exists. Sugar activates the same reward pathways of the brain. When you are really addicted to something, your willpower goes out the window, he says. If a kid gets off of the bus every day and has to have a soda, is his brain hijacked by sugar? The question is sugar addictive enough to create a public health menace? And I think the answer is yes.
So, this is kind of interesting. What do you think about this?
Well, it's a difficult debate, you know, because in a lot of ways, addiction really does come down to people still, they still have to make a choice to be able to do something, right? And so maybe sugar does have some addictive properties, but at the same time, people are really choosing to drink that Coca-Cola.
Well, they're also choosing to smoke that cigarette or to have that alcoholic drink.
That's right.
Or to take drugs. You
so
know,
that means you have the willpower to say no to cola?
I have recently dropped all sugary beverages from my diet, and I've been walking around with this, you know, bottle of water for weeks now. I'm proud to say that I'm off the sugary drinks, but I do understand that sort of craving, I guess we would call it, for things like Coca-Cola, right? Sometimes you just think, oh, I really need a Coke.
I think it's interesting that they're saying if a kid gets off the bus every day and has to have a soda, you know, so that sounds very addictive. Sometimes
that
happens. Like on a hot, really hot day, if I've been out, I do come home and think, oh, I really need a Coke.
Yeah, more than
I
a
have
craving.
But I think it's also interesting we should look at what Kelly Brownell says. He says that sugar activates the same reward pathways of the brain. So when you're really addicted to something, then you have no willpower.
That's when it gets dangerous. Yeah.
Right. So how much is too much here actually is what they're saying. Right.
Well, as we already know, you know, a large soda is too much. So I guess I'd have to agree with him. Sugar might be addictive enough to create a health menace.
What do you think? Do you think it? What about for your diet in your life? Do you feel like it's on the edge of being addictive?
I think I've done a pretty good job, but I can tell you the part I do agree with, and I think this is implied here, is that sugar can also control your moods.
Yes.
So I think that's something to watch as well.
You mean with the kid getting off the bus? You know, he'll be in a bad mood unless somebody gives him a...
That could be. Maybe he needs that Coke to settle his mood down.
That's pretty messed up. Yeah.
I sometimes have felt that way about chocolate. That I feel like sometimes I have no willpower where chocolate is concerned. But we're talking, remember, about the excessive consumption of these kind of items like sugary foods and drinks. And we see that more and more of them are appearing in our diets, on the food shelves, in our grocery stores. So we need to be very careful. Well, we want to invite you all to come back and join us again tomorrow for our third day on the war on sugar. And Simon and Brian and I will all be here to talk again with you. So goodbye for now.
Goodbye.